shucking jive.
All you racing fans, stand up, clap your feet, I mean clap your heads.
Welcome to the Goat Rodeo.
CRN Studios in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Racing Through History.
Hello, race fans. Welcome to this edition of the Goat Rodeo. We're going to do a little racing through history here tonight. Glad y'all hung around, whatever it is y'all did to get here. We're glad you're here. Let's say hello to everybody, starting with Tim. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Joe.
I'm not Joe.
Thinking about Joe.
Where'd you get Joe?
Joe Gilder.
Joe Gilder. I like Joe. Just call me Joe from now on. I'll be Joe.
Joe was a pretty good guy.
Don't cry, Joe.
I'll be Joe. I'm all right with Joe.
I was thinking about Joe Finlan, I guess.
How about you, Fred?
Which one's Fred? If that me, I'm good. I'm good. Like old Smokey the Bandit says, how's old Fat Fred? Oh, he's good.
That's cool, man. Yeah, man. Coastal Jack Walker's in the house. How you doing, Jack?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Good deal, man. Next to him, the Bopper's here. How you doing, Bopper?
Hey, doing good. Good to see you, too.
Matt on the street. Yep. Hewlin Oval crash. The splitter.
Just drifted in off the street. Yep.
He drifted here. So, just before we went on the air, you guys were saying all kinds of crap that could get you unfollowed on Facebook. I want you to know.
Well, that's why we're going to change it. NASCAR is so great.
Hey, do I look like I care?
Well, I mean, that's beside the point. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of... Patrick had a special segment of his show last night about the people that unfollowed him for complaining about NASCAR.
And unfollowed Patrick?
People unfollowed him.
Like Tim.
And they told him, if you don't like it, don't watch it. And he said, I don't watch it.
Well, you know, that's funny. With all the negative stuff I put on there, I keep getting friend requests.
That's weird, man. That's just weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It really is. I don't know. I guess I need to talk with Patrick.
Yeah, you need to talk to Patrick. He's got it figured out, man. He's got the haters come out after him. Where do we start?
Where do we start?
Bobby, you start. Since you were out last week, you get the mic. Take it away.
Well, since I was out last week, we've had the truck race at Eldora, and then we've had the two races at Indy, and that's quite a good comparison.
Sell out in a no-show.
Yeah. People was having to sit on the grass at Eldora. Like they used to do at Darlington, like Jack, you said, yep. You done in 1957, 58.
No. It's actually in the 60s when I sat on the hill.
You had to sit on the hill because the stands was full. They was doing that at Eldora. Did y'all see the truck race? Did you find it on did your channels have it?
I didn't. I could not get it on my TV.
I did watch it.
I did not watch it.
Yep, it's on Fox Business, which I thought was pretty dumb to start with. But they hype it up a lot.
Well, you have to understand there was a soccer match on Fox Sports too. So that I guess that shows us where we are now in the world of relative sports importance. There was a lot of stuff to watch at Eldora. That was reminded me of being at Conway in 1964. Yeah. I mean, there was trucks everywhere.
Especially Christopher Bell and his fight to stay on the track.
And he done amazingly good after he got in the wreck. Kept on going and was in the – gosh, he might have made it up to the top five one time.
Yeah, he was.
But I think he wound up in the top ten. So.
Jeff, Alex wants to know if you need a fifth panelist tonight.
I'm going to add him.
That's better than subtracting him.
Yeah. I subtracted you once. You never got over it.
Yeah, I know.
Really, Jeff. Jefferson.
Me off.
Yeah. Since we're sort of on an Eldora thing, I would like to just do my segment right now because it's on this same subject. Let's
take it away.
Throw some stuff out there.
Take it away.
I saw an article. The name of it, it's a Twitter discussion between Denny Hamlin and Clint Bowyer. Did any of y'all see that? And it started out saying Denny Hamlin wants to race a truck at Eldora, and then he goes on to say he would like to race there and so on and so forth. But then he starts this series of tweets, and this is the first one. He says, "Fans always talk about how they want us to go to more old short tracks. This is exactly why it is not possible. Eldora is one of the nicest, but..." Then he goes on, he says, "It still struggles with having the infrastructure to make things organized." All right. Then Clint Bowyer responds, and he says, "Highly disagree. Nicer suites, media center, and facilities than some that we go to now. They don't have live pit stops, so they don't need a better pit road." Then Denny Hamlin says, "Well, infrastructure, maybe they got that, but they ain't got accommodations." And then Clint says, "Are we on the same planet?" Are we on the same planet? So anyway, what they go through this this banter back and forth. Denny finally says, "I'm on the same planet you are. You're in a dirt fantasy land. I said Eldora is one of the nicest. It's perfect for the truck series once a year." Okay, now, this is Denny Hamlin. Quote, this is a quote. "My simple point is, it's so hard," he said. "I was watching the race, and guys were trying to fix their trucks on pit road, and it was kind of a mess. I was simply saying I'm all for short tracks. I wish we had 36 of them every single week. But it's hard to come into a place that only hosts one time a year, and especially a local short track, and put on a big event and make it look organized." Hamlin said he still enjoyed watching Wednesday's truck race. Quoting again, "Eldora has done an amazing job. Their facility is second to none, and it was pretty darn good race at the end. So it was pretty exciting from my standpoint," he said. "But now here's what I want us to talk about as the panel of experts." This is a quote from Denny Hamlin. And let me remind you, this was probably said before the Indianapolis race. All right, keep that in mind. We are not going to go forward if we try to go backwards. You know what I mean? We've got to move this sport forward. A place like Eldora is a great place, but you just can't go back to these old racetracks. Hamlin says he mainly wanted to call attention to the unrealistic hopes of running a big league race at a defunct oval such as North Wilkesboro Speedway, adding that smaller tracks would be limited because the truck series brings a certain amount of carnival atmosphere to the track. The Cup Series brings a much bigger carnival, and how does that work? End quote. So, I mean,
what planet has Denny Hamlin been living on?
And now my original point was this was said before Indy.
Well, Denny's from Virginia, and you got two short tracks in Virginia that do pretty well, Martinsville and Bristol, relatively.
Well, Denny is a pinhead. Any opinion he may have is not worth listening to.
Well, but this is Denny is simply parroting the main philosophy at NASCAR headquarters right now, that we've got to move this sport forward, which I think
he has been given regular doses of the NASCAR Kool-Aid, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the guys in the broadcast booth. I'm not real sure that that's their real opinion of what they're saying, but if they want to keep their jobs, that's what they better say.
But there's no, it don't matter what you say or what anybody's, there's no spin that you can somehow rationalize the performance at Indianapolis Sunday or Saturday. You can't make a silk purse out of that.
Stand by. Just you guys go ahead, but I'm going to drop Tim and Alex and try to get Cody in. It's not letting him in. Carry on.
But the argument that we're somehow moving the sport forward, you can say that all you want to. This is the Indy was the acid test that is not happening.
Well, yeah, how's that been working out for the last 5 years?
Right. Just speaking it and talking it doesn't make reality happen. Right. That does not make it so.
Bobby, I was just thinking as we were talking about that, what do you think would happen if NASCAR decided that half of the truck series was going to be run on dirt next year or the year after? Would that bring a whole bunch of new fans to the table and Brent put some excitement in it?
It would to an extent.
They could run places like Milwaukee and places like that, the Mile in Milwaukee and some of the big dirt tracks around the country.
Knoxville, Iowa, for example.
The only drawback that I see to that is NASCAR is going to have to get off their high horse about all of these safety rules that they have inflicted on. Look what happened to Rockingham when they said, well, now that you spent all this gazillion dollars on soft walls, now you're going to have to spend another gazillion on an updated catch fence, which broke them.
Yeah. Well, that was the objective there. I don't think they didn't want Rockingham back in the mix.
Yeah, but Rockingham's a whole lot different than some of the dirt. Than Eldora, for example. Hell, they don't have the safety barriers at Eldora.
It brings up an interesting set of questions. I think that might be good to try. Yep. It certainly couldn't hurt.
Hey, I'll tell you, this is my opinion, and I can't prove it, but if they had a cup race at North Wilkesboro, you could not get a ticket in 40 miles.
Yep, I agree with that.
I think they would fill it up.
Whether they got pit road infrastructure or not, people would go, and that is the bottom line. Is creating interest and making people go.
And they used to have live pit stops at North Wilkesboro, for example.
Yeah, they raced there forever until 1996. Yeah.
They used to have live pit stops at Columbia Speedway, for that matter.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, NASCAR has painted itself into a corner in all these demands that it's made of these tracks. And, of course, North Wilkesboro was a victim of having to move on to bigger and better places, so it lost its dates. But I don't know that they will go back.
They're not going to do any of this. That's the point. They're going to let her go on off the cliff.
It's kind of like
she's about there now.
The pelican and the frog. The pelican's trying to eat the frog, and the frog's holding the pelican's neck so he can't swallow him. And what's going to happen is they're both going to die.
They're not going to do any of this. They convince their own self that what they're doing is the right way to go. They ain't convinced. The only question is how long will these sponsors?
Yep. Well, that's the pressure that's going to break the camel's back.
Spelled it E-A-R-Y-L.
Yeah.
When they start losing more sponsors.
Right. Hold on. Tim, I'm trying to.
I'm here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you were spelling something. I can get you and Alex on, and it drops Cody. I get Cody on, and it drops you and Alex. So I just letting you know, I'm still trying. So carry on.
Okay.
I don't know that there is an answer. I don't know that NASCAR is going to, just like you said, Bobby. I don't know that they're going to admit how wrong they have been for the last 20 years.
Well, there's obviously a problem. I mean, you can't look at a race and not know there's a problem.
It's got a huge problem.
And NBC was so accused of that on the various internet that they finally admitted, hey, we know there's a problem. We spent two hours discussing the problem before the race came on.
And when contracts run out for both sponsorships of cars, sponsorships of races and those kind of things.
But it's everything. It's not just a track. It's stupid stuff like suspending a crew chief for four races because a lug nut was off or all these penalties and on and on and on. This crazy stuff that just going on incessantly and across the board.
And, all this mess with Kyle Larson not being able to get a car on the track. And, of course, that I don't know, but it certainly appears to me to be nothing more than retaliation for the remark that he made about that what he made on souvenirs at a dirt track or a sprint car track, whatever. As long as they play that game, it's a losing game for them. The best thing for them to do is to take, you know, point taken and move on. But instead of being vindictive like they are, race car fans are not stupid. They see what's going on. They understand what's going on. And I think they showed it with their pocketbooks when they went to Indy this or didn't go to Indy this past Sunday.
Tim, are you on?
I'm here.
Do you think NASCAR had a narrative this weekend? They had a chance for, in their eyes, history. If Kyle Busch could have won it three times in a row, that was going to make everything right. True or false?
True. What the whole thing was, and there was an article written that I read earlier in the week, and I don't know if it was USA Today or Yahoo Sports or where I saw it, because I read all those feeds every morning. But one, the guy wrote the article that says, Indy has got to be a smashing success if NASCAR is going to survive. And I read the whole article, and the premise of the whole thing was, you know, this is going to make it or break it for NASCAR. If they do good at Indy, they're going to draw the people, and everybody will be ready for Pocono next week. Instead, what they've got was the, remember the scene out of Days of Thunder, when the guy was talking about what Monkey was doing with the football? That's about what Indy was to be. I mean, that's more or less what my impromptu legendorial is going to be about. It was just ridiculous to sit there and watch the whole thing. If I hadn't been in so much pain with my leg, I would have probably gone outside and beat up the fire ants or something other than sit there and watch that. Because it was absurdity, stupidity, and I have a Facebook friend who actually went to the race, and she told me on Facebook Monday morning that she was sitting up in the grandstands right to the edge of where all the shade was, and she said if there were 20,000 people there, that was a flat outright lie, and that she knows that Lilly, that drug company, had given away like 4,000 or 5,000 tickets to Sunday's race and given away like 10,000 tickets to Saturday's race because they had the guy driving the Lilly car, whose name I can't think of right now.
Brian Reed.
Brian Reed, yeah, there you go. Good guy. But they had all of the Lilly employees who were over there because that's their headquarters, and they're giving away tickets. They still can't get people in there. They were saying before that truck races and Xfinity races, 12 and under, get in free. And I swear, unless I was really drunk, they said coming up at Pocono, 12 and under will be free for Sunday's race too. That is going to be amazing. If
Pocono, which used to be Pocono, which was one of those few races like Bristol where you had to wait a long time if you wanted a ticket.
Yes. Well, absolutely.
Well, Indy itself, for most of its history, was wildly successful. Yep. I mean, it really was.
Yeah, especially.
Yeah, that was when it was novel.
Yeah.
People were excited to see the stock cars at the historic speedway, and then once that novelty wore off and people started paying attention to lousy races.
Cozy, you go back to 2008 in the Maypop Goodyears. You know, what was it? Every 12 laps they had to throw a yellow.
It would be a disaster. It would be a total disaster if IndyCars ran a race at Martinsville or Bristol, because they're not built for that kind of racing.
Yep, exactly.
Cody, you there?
I am.
There we go. We got him.
Okay, yeah. Jefferson, we can go to somebody else's segment if you like. We're good. I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. Because in the essence of time, we can...
Take it away, Tim.
Take it away, Tim. All right, I've got a driver. I want to see how many of you remember. Sonny Leander Fox. Anybody ever heard of him?
I don't know that I have.
I don't think so. Anybody ever see the movie Fireball 500?
Yes.
Yes, Sonny Leander Fox was one of the drivers in Fireball 500, which was probably one of the most absurd, ridiculous, stupid, asinine stock car racing movies ever made. But while I was watching Sunday's race at Indy, I started thinking, man, you know, what I'm seeing out on the track on this TV today is pretty much about the same thing that was going on in Fireball 500, but they don't have that good-looking Annette Funicello in there. But what do you guys think the future of NASCAR at Indy should be? And let's wait till I finish this to answer it. The TV network that broadcasts American Idol has the ability to rate viewers on TV and other means of views, including tablets, phones, etc. Last week's episode of the show, the American Idol show, had 11.2 million television viewers, but when other means were added in, there were just in excess of 30 million. If they can and do that and do release the figures, why can't NASCAR? Indy drew, from what I saw, a 3.2 rating on one site and a 3.89 on the other, which was up from last year because last year was on NBCSN. And my brother Richard and I were talking Sunday. What is it with these NASCAR cleanup crews these days? Back in the old days, they could clean up a 10-car wreck and have the track cleared in less than 5 laps, and now it takes forever. And did you notice a water bottle left on the track after the red flag that Brad Kay moves with his splitter? 3 weeks ago, that would have brought out a debris caution. Oh, and I understand Martin Truex Jr. will not have any more free M&Ms or Skittles or dog food for the rest of the next 2 seasons. All right, say what you want, but the clean air syndrome made a joke out of the competition. Restarts were the only passes for the lead. And please note, as we've already discussed, that NASCAR waited until Casey Kane had crossed that whatever the line is called before the caution light came on, and that ended the race. That is the one smart thing they did, although it deprived the possibility of a final pass for the lead. People in the stands, don't feed me that junk about the expanse of the stands making them look empty. Even with my poor eyesight, I could see they were empty. One of my social media friends was there and said they could not have been 20,000 people in attendance. I would tend to agree with her. But as far as the future of NASCAR at Indy, I think it's time they move away from that track. Go anywhere else. Go race anywhere else or drop one from the schedule and let the drivers have one less race they have to run that year. But we move on to Pocono. Everybody's now hyping that as the one that Dale Jr. is going to win, because it's the fact that he won, I think, both of them last year. So they're really pumping the ticket sales on Dale Jr. is going to win at Pocono. So we'll have to wait and see. You know, the way his luck's been with Rex and everything else, I just don't know about that. But, you know, it's kind of like watching that race Sunday, and you know the clean air. You get out front, just like Kyle Busch would do, and get out front. The only chance to pass was on a restart. That kind of got him and Martin Truex in trouble on one little restart. Can't say that it broke my heart. Once these drivers were safely out of the cars, it came to me that one of the most beautiful sights in the world, from my point of view, is a Toyota on a wrecker hook headed to the garage. That's it. Back to you, Jeff.
Oh, gosh. That's good.
I got about 30 seconds worth.
Well, before you go, Tim said wait till after the end of it to do something. What'd you ask us to do?
Oh, I got to go back and read that now. How
comment
you
on there's a first sentence
on Indianapolis future.
Yeah, what do you think? What did y'all think about the race Saturday and Sunday? I thought the Saturday race was okay, but what did you think about Sunday's race?
I think Indianapolis days are numbered now. There's contractual agreements and all that kind of stuff, so I don't know how quick they can get out of it. But I'll bet right now in the boardroom they're trying to figure out how to.
Well, you know,
well, it's like I've always said about contract law. All contracts have written in them a specific performance clause. If that clause is not in there, somebody had a real lawyer malpractice case.
Yep.
And if what's going on at Indy and they have it in their contract that we don't have to put up with this crap from NASCAR, they can throw them out anytime they want to. Remember how they used to be so snooty in Indy, they threw Bill France out of the pits up there.
Mm-hmm.
years
in 1957.
Yeah, threw him out of the pits. They didn't even want him anywhere in him.
The Holman family, which owns Indy, they threw out their own grandson a few years ago because things were not going like they wanted them to.
Well, that's because he was struggling to handle the series, I think.
But I mean,
I'll tell you what,
like somebody at the top of desk or
You know what I think of burnouts, how stupid they are. But I think that kissing the bricks, that gets down to mentalities that ought to about qualify you to slop the hogs on a rainy day.
That was invented by Dale Jarrett. Are you saying Dale Jarrett's qualified to slop the hogs on a rainy day?
I doubt he's even qualified for that.
Ooh.
So, you know, I've got real issues with him, not only over the kissing the bricks, but, you know, all this stuff. And it's Kyle Petty, too, and Dale Jarrett, and Jeff Burton, and Steve Letarte. I've never seen, even on Fox, any of them kissing NASCAR's butt like these guys do. And of course, it's like you said, they've got to, or they're out of it.
They have to.
Yep.
You got to draw the line somewhere and say, hey, I'm going to stand up for this because I believe it, and I don't care what NASCAR is telling me. You know, it's like Kyle Petty a couple of races ago when Brad Keselowski complained about the cars being the problem, and Kyle Petty went into this long diatribe about if there's a problem with the cars, don't tell us there's a problem with the cars. Tell us what we're going to do about it. And I went crazy. I said, we've been trying to tell you bunch of idiots for 10 years to get them back off the ground, get rid of those splitters, make them more like stock cars, you know, but no.
Well, I have to give Dale Jarrett credit. I mean, he was thoroughly, he ripped the series up one side and down the other when they had the no bump draft race at Talladega. What was that, 2009, 10? He was infuriated. In fact, I think that was one of the last races he called for ESPN before they canned him from their regular broadcast crew. I think they took him off after that year and replaced him with Ricky Craven.
All right, Hugh. Take it away, Hugh.
All right. The few of us that watched any of the Indianapolis race, I think we saw something that Sunday that I've been preaching it about, the cars going round and round in the toilet bowl. Well, my view now is that they're just barely visible above the waterline. I think we have seen the last nail in the coffin for NASCAR. That was absolutely horrible. The race wasn't good, and the attendance was, to say minuscule is being polite. I was appalled when I started looking at the crowd that they had. I thought, if you were to take the safety people that were walking the edge of the fence away, there just wouldn't have been anybody there. I think 20,000 was probably a very, 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 very high number.
Y'all remember that NASCAR went there for 2 years, like 1992 and 3, for practice days before the actual race, and they had a tremendous crowd both of those practice days. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
it was almost like the race itself was all. It was virtually sold out and that went on for 2 years.
But they have done such idiotic things. That restart, the second to last restart, was one of the things that they did. What was it, 3 or 4 years ago, they brought that awful tire. They had to throw a caution every 10 laps because that was all
2008.
That was all the tires would last. Now, a company as big as Goodyear, as long as they've been building race tires, you cannot convince me that there wasn't something. They wanted to get rid of some old tires. There was something horribly wrong with what they did for that race, and that's just one more example of the fact that NASCAR, they're either going to have to get off their throne and start listening to some of us little people, or they're going to have to give it up. because in just a very short order,
ain't gonna happen.
They won't have to give it up.
Happen.
It
they
will collapse upon itself. Well, then it will just collapse. It's like Obamacare. It will collapse upon itself.
Oh, now you're getting political. Cody, your turn. Take it away.
All right. Well, what am I taking away?
Oh, I thought. Go ahead. Just your comments or whatever.
Coditorial.
I just came into this. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Well, you can guess.
Talking about Tifa swimming in Georgia.
We're talking about what would happen if they moved the Brickyard to
North Wilkesboro.
North Wilkesboro.
North Wilkesboro, Rockingham.
Or Lakewood.
Well, you know, it would be pretty fun, but I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. Before I got kicked off earlier, before Jeff just decided in my call, I was hearing somebody say something about Brickyard, they're going to take it away. I really don't think they're going to take away the Brickyard just because of all the TV sponsors and you know, I just think they've got enough money the way it is where they have to you know, whether they have people at the stand or not, you know, I think they have enough money and really for all NASCAR just in sponsors, so they're going to keep it. There's probably not going to be anybody there, but, you know, who knows? I was reading earlier that for the first tire test, they had 92 for the Winston Cup team. There's 9 teams there, and about 25 people, or 25,000 people attended. And you think if that's, it seems like that's what was there over the weekend. You know, I don't know what the official word is, but when there's 3 people per turn one and maybe 15 people and, you know, on the front stretch, I mean, it just doesn't look good. So
let me ask you a question. Does the crowd in the stands change your view of the racing?
Maybe not the view of the racing. I was reading a lot of comments on Facebook saying that, you know, it's how good Eldora was. And people were saying, oh, but it's, you know, sellout crowd is going to be still 25,000 people. And they, you know, they say when you go to Indianapolis this weekend, it holds 250. Of course, it's going to look low. But if I'm NASCAR, if I'm the TV crews, if I have 25,000 people across the board, at no matter what track I go to, I want it to look full. So I'm going to go to a smaller track because it's going to force people to sit next to each other and force them to look full. Because Lord knows we can't get 100,000 people to Indianapolis anymore if they max out at 250.
So what difference does it make how it looks?
To the casual fan.
Yeah. Does it matter?
I would say to the casual fan, they wouldn't want to come back.
That's my question. Does it matter? Does it change the impact of racing with no crowd there? I think it does.
It does.
Anytime you see a packed stadium, it like you almost said there, Cody, it makes you want to go there. You know?
I don't know.
Vice versa. You know.
I don't know anything about baseball, not really, but a lot of times when it comes on TV, I always notice there's nobody in the stand.
Yeah.
And it just makes me uninterested because, well, it must not be that big of a deal if not even the baseball fans.
That's where
go.
I was going with the question.
So, I mean, that's, you know,
there is an impact. Yeah, the perception.
There is a fact. That is a factor. It's a definite factor. An empty stadium versus a full one.
So Indy with small tiny stands that held 25,000 packed, probably still going to suck.
But also that makes an impact when you have empty stands on the TV sponsors.
Yep.
You don't want your sponsor out there to sponsoring something that nobody's going to. Yeah. And that's the perception if you're watching it on TV.
If they only held 25,000, they were full, we'd be bitching because they didn't build more stands.
Exactly.
So this sort of circles back around to Denny Hamlin's point, and he says we can't move this sport forward by going backward. Is that a true statement?
I think it's true. But the truth about what does forward mean? What's the definition of is or if or whatever? You know, what is forward? Forward means in the tank, further down the toilet bowl that Hugh's talking about. So yeah, so if that's forward, then you can't go backwards and flush this thing because going backwards would help it.
Right, and like I said last week, North Wilkesboro, it's gone. You know. You're not bringing that back unless you uproot it for a dirt track. But I mean, there are so many places that NASCAR doesn't touch that they could either look into and, you know, do their own investigating, or, I mean, there are other tracks out there. I mean, they seem to do well enough at Road America and the Busch Series. I mean, they might even want it at this point. I mean, they're desperate enough, and you get manufacturers interested. They might even want to start looking at having like a mid-season break and looking for something in Canada or something.
Yeah, Germany would be good. Okay, all right.
Germany might work too. They have lots of car manufacturers.
Yeah. Coastal Jack Walker.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to go to the Brickyard, I bet, are you?
I am not going to the Brickyard. Matter of fact, I never have liked the Brickyard.
Coastal Carolina. Historic race finish here on raceplace.zoomshare.com.
Yes, sir. We do have a race tonight, though, to talk about.
Cool.
We are going back to 1975.
It was a good day.
Well,
it was a good time.
It was sort of a good time and sort of not in some respects. Didn't have a whole lot of information on this particular race, but I'm going to give you what I got and throw in a few, little bit of extra. Okay, Metrolina Speedway promoter Ned Jarrett announced that the Speedway would hold the Randy Owens Memorial 150 on Friday night, May 30th, 1975. Randy Owens was the brother-in-law of Richard Petty, who was killed in a pit accident at Talladega on May 5th. 2 days before the race, property owner Metrolina Productions of Charlotte assumed the lease from Speedway Associates, managed by Ned Jarrett. Jarrett and his group had run the track since January 1974. During Jarrett's time as the promoter, the half-mile track had been paved, had good crowds, but the track also became a financial loss. Jarrett promoted 34 race dates during his time at Metrolina, of which 10 dates were rained out.
Ooh.
That's a pretty high percentage, a third.
Yeah, that is.
30%, 33%. On race day, the new track manager for the 150-lap NASCAR National Championship Late Model Sportsman Race was Sam Keller. Also on the card that day was two 10-lap Late Model Sportsman Heat races and a 20-lap Limited Sportsman Race. The Limited Sportsman Race was won by Alfred Hill of Jonesville, North Carolina. When the feature 150-lap late model sportsman race took the green flag, Harry Gant of Taylorsville, North Carolina, led the first lap. Gant was still leading on lap 28 when he pulled into the pits with mechanical problems. The new leader became Butch Lindley of Greenville, South Carolina. Lindley held the lead to the checkered flag on lap 150. During the race, there were four caution flags for a total of 27 laps. There were also 3,500 fans in attendance. One side note, 1 week later on Friday night, June 6th, Metrolina was rained out again. Okay, here's the way they finished. Metrolina Speedway, 150-lap late model sportsman race, May 30th, 1975. The winner driving the number 16, Butch Lindley, Greenville, South Carolina, followed by the number 96 of Tommy Houston from Conover, North Carolina, number 02, L.D. Ottinger, Newport, Tennessee, Bosco Lowe, Fletcher, North Carolina. Coming in fifth, Morgan Shepherd, Conover, North Carolina, Tiny Lund, Cross, South Carolina, Darrell Bryant, Thomasville, North Carolina, Steve Lawrence, Lenora, North Carolina, Dick Brooks, Porterville, California, Rick McBride, Huntersville, North Carolina, came in 10th, Carl Allred, High Point, North Carolina, Benny Parsons, Ellerby, North Carolina, Robert Smith, not sure where he's from, Ron Grana, Farmington, Michigan, Clyde Vickers, Thomasville, North Carolina.
Clyde Vickers?
Clyde Vickers, Thomasville, North
Carolina. That is CV Products, man. That's Brian Vickers.
Is that right?
Father,
I didn't
know that. Yeah, that's CV Products.
Well, cool.
That's what CV stands for.
Ah, okay. Benny Curley, Hidden Knight, North Carolina. Buddy Howard, Greenville, South Carolina. Harry Gant, Taylorsville, North Carolina. 19th, Dale Earnhardt, Kannapolis, North Carolina. Darrell Derringer, Indianapolis, Indiana. And the 21st and final car, Glenn Jarrett, Newton, North Carolina. So that's the way it was at Metrolina Speedway, May 30th, 1975.
I saw, that's interesting. I saw someone put on, well, Dwayne Goins put a video on Facebook today of that was Dale Jr. touring Metroline in the current age. He goes, you know, you can see it.
Right.
And he goes out and look, you know, walks around and so on and so forth. Of course, it's a complete ghost track now.
Yep. So, but Metroline was a good track there for years. It was dirt, and then it was paved, then it was dirt again.
The host entity took it back over from Nedgett right before this race.
Right before, 2 days before the race.
Was that the end of Ned Jarrett's promotional career, you think?
No. It was not the end of his career. It was the end of his career at Metroline.
Metro.
He still continued with Hickory for
He
while.
Had it for years, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Then it wasn't long after that Metro went back to dirt because
right.
Preston Humphreys was killed there. I think it was Thanksgiving of that same year. This was in the spring,
yeah.
I think, by the at yeah. some point along in there.
I'm not sure when they dug it up and made it dirt again, but it must have been shortly after
well,
that.
Well, I think that crash was in Thanksgiving of 75, so that would have been the same year. So.
Yeah. Ned Jarrett ran several races at Metrolina on Friday and Saturday at Hickory. As a matter of fact, this particular week, the next night was at Hickory where Harry Gant won the race over there, which they ran a very similar race at both tracks. But
you wonder if Metrolina and Concord and all them places could have kept going, that being, you know, quote unquote the hub of NASCAR. Is that part of our problem now?
Absolutely part of the problem. The feeder group, they've lost a couple generations of fans because of the lack of feeder groups, in my opinion.
Yeah, then it became...
Do we have any feeder groups at all now?
Well, you got the K&N series, but you don't hear much about it.
No, and it's kind of so pricey also
yeah.
that it doesn't really attract them.
Now, they've got... There's some successful... short track series, both in dirt and pavement. In pavement, the Car series and the Pass series, and the CRA series up in the Midwest, are doing quite well.
And some of the big teams like Hendrick and Roush.
Oh yeah, they participate in them.
They certainly, if nothing else, have got spotters.
Yeah, but they're not NASCAR.
No,
and
no.
NASCAR doesn't care about the short tracks
no,
anymore, in my
not.
Opinion.
But the team owners are looking for new talent
yeah.
always.
Yeah, looking for new talent
right.
and dollars.
One thing that really hurt the feeder series, in my opinion, this is what I see from, I remember because I used to follow it all very closely before they folded, was the AutoZone Elite division. While I understand why they folded because of the mod, there were problems with the model, it was exactly what was needed because it was a touring late model series. It provided a transition from the short tracks to the bigger stock cars, and the Busch East and the Winston West and all that were supposed to be like alternate paths. You had multiple ways that drivers could come up, and I think that helped it because it more localized things, whereas the West series is pretty much California only, and the East series is almost only New England and New York.
Well, part of the problem was precipitated by the federal government more or less outlawing the tobacco companies from any kind of racing sponsorships. And
yes.
that took away the dollar incentives that a lot of these small tracks needed to stay open on a regular basis.
Yeah, but also back then when they had like the late model sportsman series, I mean, the guys could go from Metrolina Speedway in Charlotte to the big track in Charlotte with basically the same car. And you just can't do that. I mean, there's no avenue to do that kind of thing anymore.
No. Busch East series cars not the same
thing
anymore.
Another reason why it's failing.
Yeah, that's another
Canon used
brick in the wall yep. that is missing is there's no way to get there from
there's
here.
There's no way to get there.
You
but
can't
to,
get there.
To Hugh's point, when the Winston Racing Series went away, that had a huge impact on the local short tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
still have the Winston Racing Series, but it's no longer, you know, it's now sponsored by Whalen, and it's broken up into all sorts of sectors
yeah,
and stuff.
It's not Winston.
Right, it's not Winston, but I mean, Whalen still, I think, I don't know how much they put into it, but And they seem to put a fairly good deal of money into
it. I was there when the transition was made. You know, I was racing when it was Winston and then when it wasn't. And yeah. I can tell you, when Winston left, it created a gap that was hard to overcome.
Big old vacuum.
It was.
It's never been overcome.
They've never overcome it. Yeah, there's other things there.
When did Winston leave the short track series?
70. Well, I was going to say 72.
No, they were much later than that. 90.
Yeah,
91.
It had to be 90s, yeah.
Yeah, I know it. Because I know they didn't get Whalen until, what was it, 06, 05?
Pretty recent, actually.
Yeah.
And there was a gap, a vacuum.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything.
Yeah.
After Winston left, nobody just stepped in and picked it up.
Yep.
It was sort of floundered around on almost a racetrack to racetrack basis.
If I remember correctly, the Division One late models, weren't those the same kind of super late models that they ran in the Elite Division?
In the Winston Racing Series?
Yeah, the top level of
it. It was late model stock cars.
Were they the same kind of late models?
They were two-barrel late model stock cars.
Were they the same ones that were run in the Slim Jim All Pro Series?
No, that's a different car.
Those are super late models, right?
But Winston Racing Series also sanctioned other classes, but the top tier class then was the two barrel carburetor late model stock car.
Okay, I didn't know if they had super late models or not.
No, they did sanction some. I raced something called Super Street, which was a super late model. It was a late model stock car with a four barrel carburetor. And some changes, and Winston sanctioned that, you know. But that wasn't considered the top series. But they put all their emphasis on the late model stock car.
But at least when Winston was in it, there was a ladder. You had a definite.
You thought you were part of the feeder.
Yes, and you had assuming your talent and your sponsorship. Took you there, you could move from Super Street up.
Well, and there was also the relationship, because you were racing the Winston Racing Series, and the top level of racing was the Winston Cup Series.
Right.
You know, it was all connected. Yeah. You know, you don't have that connection anymore.
No, definitely not. And
guys that made it up the ranks brought their fans with them.
Absolutely.
It's actually amazing. I mean, you can think about how much, since I'm mentioning it, that elite division, both all four series, it's actually amazing how many NASCAR drivers you probably wouldn't have right now if it wasn't for those divisions.
Absolutely.
They supplied a lot of drivers, and I think you notice that's when
not only drivers, but fans, fans that fought those drivers, crews, owners.
A lot of guys that we're familiar with now, like Greg Biffle, Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, Jamie McMurray, that's the only reason they got to the Cup Series, and I think that's part of what's stagnating is because they lost what was actually provided more drivers to the Cup Series than what the K&N Pro Series did.
Yeah. All right. Who's next? Silence. We're finished.
Did Cody do his? Cody just kind of.
I just effectively hijacked things, so.
That's all right, man.
We've always been known for hijacking Cody.
We always hijack Cody's segment.
Poor Cody.
That's just a given.
He expects it, don't you, Cody?
But y'all know one of the other things, though, speaking of the Winston involvement, was it not only helped drivers, but it was a source of – it was a lifeline for the local tracks. They kept tracks going.
Yep, absolutely.
And when they left, they were left to their own designs to somehow sink or swim, and that's hard to do.
A lot of tracks went like Somerville.
How many of the local tracks that you see nationwide are still painted red and white?
Back in that time that Winston was, I was kind of working for on the side Columbia Speedway, and they called me one day and asked me, could I meet a truck out there at Columbia Speedway? So I went out and opened the gate, and a tractor trailer came in and unloaded. Must have been 150 10-gallon drums of red paint and 150 10-gallon drums of white paint. And the only thing I could think of is, I'm a lousy painter. I'm not painting this. So I don't know who finally ended up painting it, but Columbia Speedway had the Winston red and white all the way around it, everywhere. So
they didn't pay for it either, did they?
Oh, no.
The Winston provided it. But, you know, the thing about Winston, whenever they got into it, I got into commercial radio in 1974. And when we would go in to sign for press credentials, I mean, Winston's little lady was right there, and she had handed us a great big old thick folder that contained every bit of information you would ever want to know about everything at that track, that drivers, the drivers that went it, the cars, and whatever. And if you smoked cigarettes, they'd give you a free carton of Winston's on the way out the door.
Yep.
So they took care of the press. They took care of the drivers. They took care of the tracks. They took care of the fans. Yeah, I mean, I've got hanging on my ceiling here in my studio. I have got Winston million caps, Winston's caps, 25th anniversary of the Winston. You know, all those Winston things. I have Winston racing jackets hanging in the closet, and most all of that was given to me because I was doing commercial radio then.
Exactly. I have the same collection that I collected in Victory Circle because I knew people that worked for Reynolds, because I worked for JHE, because yeah. Winston was everywhere.
So RJR ends the Winston Racing Series October 17th, 1999, later than I thought.
And then later than I thought.
I knew it was real close to...
Jack, do you remember there was a little microcosm of RJR that sprouted up in the Carolinas called Bailey's. You remember them races? They were Bailey's. It was Bailey Tobacco Company.
Yeah, Bailey Tobacco sponsored a lot of cars.
Which was a local, like they a blew North Carolina. All the, yeah, they were all blue.
Blue and yellow or something.
And they sponsored races, too, to the Bailey's 300 and stuff like that. And if you won so many races, you could be a Bailey car. Or, that went on for a little while.
Yeah, it did. Yep.
I vaguely remember that, just vaguely remember.
Yeah, that series that was the Winston Racing Series was immediately called the next year the NASCAR Weekly Racing Series instead of Winston.
And somewhere along in there, pretty early on, Dodge became the NASCAR Dodge Weekly series. Race, but that never materialized into anything other than a name.
No, they just kind of had the name for a few years.
I remember they had a big billboard out at Myrtle Beach that said Dodge NASCAR Weekly Racing Series or whatever, but nothing ever came of it other than a sign. There was no
obvious. Well, it was a start, you know.
Yeah, it was a start,
you need a sign.
Well, I mean, at that time it looked like, well, this is going to be, they're just going to take over where Winston left off.
Yep.
And, you know, just grow the short track system. But.
Well, the short track system was abandoned prior to their abandoning the cup race.
They didn't really abandon it. They never really started it.
Well, the Grand Nationals is what you're getting at when they quit going to the small tracks, dirt tracks.
The federal government mandated that they give up all but one, and that was all the short track stuff, even their rodeo ventures. So they were big-time rodeo sponsors, and that ended too. Thanks to your federal government. But it took a lot of money away from the sports arena that's never been replaced.
Yeah.
Well, really what, did.
What I was getting
you
at
know,
is...
You know, the thing about Monster Energy, are they not now saying somewhere that I read that these Monster Energy drinks are not good for young people?
Oh, they're horrible for you. They have all sorts of high amounts of caffeine and stuff. People have had from drinking them. People have had, you know, caffeine-induced coronaries that killed them and stuff.
Yep. Yeah, we had a kid, like a 17-year-old kid, right here in Columbia that happened to back during last school year. He was sitting in class, keeled over, and they found out it was from like two of those energy drinks within an hour.
Yeah, those things are horrible.
Oh, well, let's ban them and see what happens. You know, but again, it goes right back to the fact that I get tired of blasting NASCAR because I want to see it succeed. But they're going to have to start listening to some of us old folks if they're going to want to make it happen.
Ain't going
to
happen.
Not pinheads like Denny Hamlin.
Ain't going
to
happen.
I don't believe it's going to happen either. Really. I think I'm beginning to follow you, Jeff. It's going to have to go completely dead before it can survive or start over or whatever.
But how close do you think it is, Jeff, to collapse it?
Well, apparently it's not as close as we think it is, you know. But
I suppose only time will tell.
Yeah, it may collapse quickly when it does. Who knows?
Well, you know? I think that there will be a point at which it'll just implode.
Yep.
Is
Monster Energy going to come back as a sponsor?
They've got another year, an option for two more.
Yeah.
And that's being debated
at
this moment. They have not set the wood. They just have not revolutionized the sport.
They haven't done much
whatever little bit of fanfare. That ain't really made a lot of difference.
They're probably not getting their money's worth.
The Monster Girls and the fist, the boxing matches and the motorcycle jumps, that ain't really moved them.
Think about it. If you're a sponsor looking to get into the sport, it's gotten to the point it's cheaper to sponsor the sport than it is to sponsor a car.
That's true, yeah.
Well, Monster's debating seriously about not sponsoring the Kurt Busch car. Since they're sponsoring the series, they don't know if they want to sponsor a car.
A little bit of a conflict of interest.
So.
Well, you wouldn't know it, by the way.
Exposure with the car.
It's just...
The car's
NASCAR is wrong on so many levels that it's hard to digest all of it. And it's still the thing that I want to see succeed. It is still the thing that I want them to find out a way to make it go. And I don't think it can all be blamed on Brian France, because I think he only owns like 9% of NASCAR. But the whole thing about it is nobody seems to be in charge. Now they got this new president, Brent DeWar, I think his name is. I never heard of him before he got promoted to president last week or week before last. I know very little about him, have been able to find out very little about him. So I don't know what his concept is for moving the sport forward, but I still think it comes down to the point that Brian France and the rest of the people at NASCAR can rein him in between Mike Helton and Brian France. They can keep whatever DeWar may come up with well in check and not go anywhere.
Right. Just to throw a conspiracy theory out there, since there are only 3 minutes left, isn't it coincidental how it seems like whoever's the latest hot name in NASCAR, whether it's Brent DeWar or anybody else, they always have a connection, previous connections to whatever manufacturer is usually the one that's doing the best at that time.
Yeah, like General
Motors. Who's Brent DeWar connected with?
He used to be a Chevy exec,
yeah,
that's all I know.
General Motors guy.
Well, that's like, you know, I said on the air the other night, Toyota Racing Development, TRD, the only thing that's missing is you.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good place to stop.
Let's stop.
Stop on the turd.
Good night, all.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for helping do this. We appreciate it. Thanks to all you fans that tuned in. We appreciate you. Always, we say a special thanks to the men and women in our military for doing what they do and so that we can do this. Each and every one of you, good night, and God bless all of you.
Broadcasting live from the CR.